Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we give you thanks for your word. Your word that speaks out of times past into the wilderness of our own lives. Help us, O Lord, to hear in it your truth for us. Help us, O Lord, to have the will to follow your truth for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I will admit that one of the reasons I put the kibosh on the film series was this week was to talk about joy. The third week, the third candle is the joy candle. And I was finding it very difficult to think about joy. But I recognized that there are two different kinds of joy. There is, and to use the Christmas illustration, so to speak, I think we see both of them, or we can see both of them on Christmas morning. I've had so many people tell me over the years that, you know, Christmas is all about children. Christmas is for the children. They exhibit a certain kind of joy. All you have to do, and I remember this when I was little, and probably many or all of you can too. You wake up on Christmas morning and you go out and you see all the packages under the tree and you just really get exuberant. Yes, yes, oh boy, yeah. You know, there's that exuberant joy. But then there's the other joy. The joy that I have come to realize more as an adult of coming down on Christmas morning and having that special time with family. Not looking so much as to what's under the tree, but who's around the tree. That deep abiding joy that we have, knowing that God is with us. God is a part of our lives. The phrase that struck me in today's gospel reading from the Gospel of John is, John says, "Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." Now, we don't know exactly who was in the crowd. I kind of have to believe, though, because since Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, that Jesus and John knew each other and knew about each other. And that when John looked out over that crowd of people there as he was being questioned, if Jesus had been there, he wouldn't have said, "Among you stands one whom you do not know." I think he would have been more specific. "There's one you don't know yet, but you're going to get to know him real soon." And I like that because it reminds us that in all of our lives, Christ stands among us. Christ stands among us in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, but also Christ stands among us in the people that God works through to be with us, to help us, to support us. We just don't know. But God is among us. And that's the deep abiding joy that I want to reflect on today. I find it interesting. A conference of a Presbyterian church in Omaha. Wasn't my father-in-law's church, I don't think. But people were given helium-filled balloons and told to release them at some point in the service when they felt like expressing the joy in their hearts. Since they were Presbyterians, they didn't feel free to say hallelujah or praise the Lord. But they thought maybe releasing helium balloons was something that we stiff Presbyterians could possibly do. And all through the service, this person said, there were balloons ascending to the ceiling of the where they were meeting. But when it was over, only 1/3 of the balloons had been released. And there were still 2/3 of them sitting there waiting for that joy. They hadn't released the balloons. Now, I think that speaks to the fact that we often don't see as well as we think we do. We don't see with spiritual eyes. We don't see that deep, inexpressible joy that others feel. That deep, inexpressible joy that allows people to go through dark nights of the soul, trusting that they will come out on the other side. That allow people to go through difficult times, trusting that they will come out or come through them. Some of you have already heard minute versions of this sermon, but the past week, I've had that deep inner sense of joy become visible to me. Because I've seen Christ being with me, speaking to me, as He's driving me to the hospital, Barbara and I to the hospital for the first time once we got the news. I see Christ in the Spirit and the words and the skill of the surgeon who talked to us and reminded us that not only did he think that things were going to be okay, he says, no matter what happened, and he told us all the things that could happen. And some of them did. But he says, we can fix them. And within that was the sense that, okay, we can get through this. And then the joy of realizing that, of getting a text from somebody, how are you holding up today? Thinking about you, praying for you. The cards that many of you have sent to Him. And He's loved every one of them. We get that deep, abiding sense of joy when we recognize that God in Christ is reaching out to us, is unknown in our midst, helping us, guiding us. Not because we're great or we deserve it or anything like that, but because God is God. And God loves all of God's children and is there for all of God's children. Even the underdogs. More so for the underdogs. And even when we go through those times when the most awful things happen and we just feel like we're never going to make it. The loss of a child or a close friend. I mean, God, how am I going to get through this? It's painful, and yet the time comes when we realize It's not easy. It will never go away. But we are getting through it. And that's when that deep sense of abiding joy begins to percolate within us, because we know that by the grace of God, that's the only reason we're where we are. That's the only way we could have gotten to this point. And we give thanks to God for being with us. Catherine Marshall once wrote, "My friend Marge had an experience aboard a plane bound for Cleveland. Waiting for takeoff, as she settled into her seat, Marge noticed a strange phenomenon. On one side of the airplane, a sunset suffused the entire sky with glorious color. But out of the window next to her seat, all Marge could see was a sky dark and threatening with no sign of the sunset. As the plane's engines began to roar, a gentle voice spoke within her. You have noticed the windows. God moved beneath the roar and the thrust of the takeoff. Your life, too, will contain some happy, beautiful times, but also some dark shadows. Here's a lesson I want to teach you to save you much heartache and allow you to abide with me with continual peace and joy. You see, it doesn't matter which window you look through. This plane is still going to Cleveland. So it is in your life. I'm not sure I want my life going to Cleveland, but anyway. You have a choice. You can dwell on the gloomy picture, or you can focus on the bright things and leave the dark, ominous situations to me. I alone can handle them anyway. And the final destination is not influenced by what you see or feel along the way. Learn this, act on it, and you will be released, able to experience the peace that passes understanding." Among us stands one whom we do not know, although we do know. We know it's the Christ. And we know not who Christ is coming to us through. But we know Christ is coming. We know Christ has come. We know Christ will come. A long time ago, I believe I shared with you an illustration of basically someone said that, how would you live your life differently if you knew that Christ was in somewhere in the people around you through the Spirit of God? And I think we could live our lives with much deeper sense of joy than if we don't think that way. And that also behooves the point that, can we be the face, the arms, the spirit, the love, the hugs of Christ or someone else? And many of you have already been that for us and for me. So as you continue your journey to the manger and beyond, when all the decorations are put away and we get into what hopefully will be a snowless but cold winter, our treasurer is shaking his head. Yes, keep it snowless, keep it snowless. Think about the fact that you're not alone. Somewhere in your midst stands the one you know. Just don't know who is representing that someone that day. Amen.